stuck with me for, what, 4 hours? And I'm glad to have you here, Evan Bray. Thanks for joining me. It is a Tuesday morning, and we've got another great and full show for you here. December the 2nd, and lots to talk about. Canada's first natural hydrogen well has been drilled right here in Saskatchewan. Max Power Mining Corporation is the organization at the heart of this project, and I've got the CEO, Ranjith Narayanasamy, joining me to talk about why this is beneficial for the province and why hydrogen just could be that another great energy option for the world. We'll talk about that. Also on the program today, I don't know if you saw this story. It was about a month ago. Ontario, there was a woman in Ontario required to pay almost all of her parents' retirement savings, $700,000, to cover a huge tax bill when they both died in that same year. I've got MKS Financial Services, Mike Spicer, the president of that company, joining us today. We'll talk a bit about that case. What is there something that could have been done to prevent that? What other end-of-life financial considerations should people be taking into consideration? ChatGPT is becoming so widely used. I know a ton of people that are using it now more than they use Google, using it almost like a search engine. What does that mean for businesses that, of course, rely on search engine optimization for their businesses to be at the top of the list? Can it be manipulated? We'll talk a little bit about that with an expert. And of course, coming up at 9 o'clock, we've got open lines. We've got a federal cabinet shuffle to talk about. Rumors federal government employees might have to return to work in the office full time. It's got some people grumbling over that, and we'll continue budget discussions from Saskatoon. So, like I say, lots on the go. Let's start her off with our big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Often when we're talking about these topics, whether it's the mid-year deficit the provincial government announced here in the last week and a half, if it's the pipeline deal, Alberta inked, we think about it from our standpoint here in Saskatchewan. What does this mean for Saskatchewan's economy? What does it mean to businesses in the province? This is where a fella like Paul Martin comes into play, because I always love the conversation with Paul from a Saskatchewan perspective. He is our Ralco business commentator, and Paul kicks off our show today. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
Not at all. Great to be on.
So I mentioned we've got Ranjith Narayanasamy coming on here. He's with now, a brand new CEO, just announced a week ago, Max Power Mining Corporation. They're doing this natural hydrogen drilling in the province. This a big deal, Paul?
It is. You know, and it's part of a grander story, but first let's talk about hydrogen. This is the perfect fuel that has been kind of the the golden chalice everybody's been chasing, because you burn it, you get energy out of it, and what do you get as a waste product is water. So there's no carbon emissions or any of that sort of stuff, and people have pursued this forever. And that it occurs naturally, but this is the first time we've been able to actually tap into it in a, you know, what would be, a well scale, or so that has the potential for commercial scale. Mm-hmm. And it just speaks to what lies under the ground in Saskatchewan. We are also hearing lots these days about helium. We've been producing helium in Saskatchewan for a long time. And I guess I'm saying here, there's a whole lot of stuff of diversification in the geological formations below us that we're just starting to figure out and how to turn into commercial opportunities. So this is another one along that line. And now that Ran has taken the helm of that company, and they put together a pretty impressive board of directors. And so this company, if anybody's going to make it happen, it's this one.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. That conversation is coming up this morning at 10 o'clock. Okay, related, I would suggest, that when we're talking energy production, is this new pipeline deal between Alberta and the Ontario government. We had Premier Moe on Friday of last week, and he touted this as a good deal for Saskatchewan as well. From a business perspective, how do you see this, Paul?
Well, still early stages. The business community has still not yet stepped up and said, hey, I'll put that pipeline in, because there's a lot of unanswered questions, particularly around BC's opposition to this. But I see this in a slightly different light, Evan. I see this as I think Danielle Smith called it the grand bargain of Canada. I see this as a fundamental or profound shift in the power base in the country. For the last 20 or 30 years, as energy became an important cog in the Canadian economy, economic wealth was shifting from central Canada to the west. And then with that came population. And so in this last election, for example, every second time we have a census, we redistribute the seats in Parliament. Alberta had three extra seats this go around. So now you're seeing also political power shifting west. Mm-hmm. Don't let it be lost on you that Stephen Guilbeault stepped aside from cabinet only because he's an environmentalist. I think that there is concern in central Canada, Quebec in particular, that their place in Canada is being diminished by strength in the west. And Justin Trudeau really spent, you know, his entire prime minister's term seeing what he could do to suppress Western Canada, and created lots of animosity out mm-hmm. here. And, you know, I once was speaking at the NSBA shortly after COVID, and I made the comment at the time that the Trudeau family legacy is going to be a separatist party in Quebec from Pierre and a separatist party in the West from Justin. Nice nation building, boys. That's why we elect prime ministers. And, you know, I was chastised by some fairly well positioned or highly placed people in the Liberal Party for sort of making that comment. But I stand by it, that I think that the seams of the country have been stretched, and that we're being tested on this. And so what I see with this pipeline deal is Ottawa under Mark Carney saying, hang on, the economic engine in this country is in the West. You see the auto industry in trouble in central Canada. The manufacturing base used to be, you know, the heartland of it all. Well, now he's talking about us being an energy superpower. He's not talking about us being an automotive superpower. He's talking about us being an energy superpower. Well, that means Western Canada has got to play a pretty big role in this. So what I see Carney willing to spend his political capital to really stare down BC on this thing and say, sorry, we need to get this stuff to market, and this is where Canada's futures lie. So I see it in a much grander way than just a simple pipeline.
Right.
I think this is a statement about the state of affairs in the country.
You know, I'm curious. Paul Martin is my guest, Ralco Business Commentator. I'm curious, Paul, about, we heard Danielle Smith and Scott Moe talk about the nine bad laws, referring to, you know, the things that were inhibiting investment in the energy sector. What we saw happen here was some carve-outs, some negotiations on those laws specific to Alberta. Is this the new norm that the prime minister and federal government are creating, that, you know, it won't be a blanket law across Canada, but it will be basically dependent on the negotiations that your province has on certain projects where things are going to land?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Carney does not have a majority, so he can't just go back in and sort of rescind all those laws, because he probably wouldn't get them through Parliament. He'd likely collapse the government and we'd be in an election. But Justin Trudeau set the parameters around carve-outs, didn't he, with the dropping the carbon tax on home heating fuel in Atlantic Canada. So he's sort of set the precedent, and I think Carney and his team and the PMO are saying, well, let's borrow that, it seemed to fly, and do carve-outs here. Now, it complicates the negotiations, because does every province get a carve-out? I don't know. We'll see. But as you look at, for example, this question of, you know, we've seen lots of headlines around Nutrien deciding to go to mm-hmm. put their port in the United States. I mean, that's kind of the plan B, I think, for Carney, is that if you can't get this through BC, spending a lot of energy talking about a port at Churchill and, you know, what can we do in the east? And the private sector is already going south, so does that open that up? And BC needs to be careful about this thing, too, or it just takes itself out of the equation. And does it, you know, effectively create its own carve-out, which says we're just not going to play? But, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility for oil and potash, for example, coming out of Saskatchewan or Alberta, to go south to Texas or down to some other port on the west coast of the U.S. And I don't think the Americans would complain too much about that kind of capital investment and jobs and business opportunity coming down there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Canada's in a really interesting position right now. What is Canada? And I think that's a question we're going to have a talk about, because you know, power bases are shifting and the political bases are putting their elbows up internally. I think we've got a lot of debate ahead of us. It's going to be an intriguing next year or two as we work our way through these things.
Let's chat about that Nutrien decision for a second to basically build their port out of south of the border as opposed to BC. And the BC government has done a lot to, I would say, remove the attraction of their province when it comes to things like this. I know it was assessed on a scale. They looked at a number of different locations. Does it really make a difference for Saskatchewan? It's our product that Nutrien is obviously shipping to an Asia market. Obviously, there's the let's be one team in Canada approach, but does it really matter for us which port our product goes out of?
No, not really. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, who rules? The customer. So you got to get it to the customer. What's the easiest way to do that with the least friction, the best price? And Canada's reputation on, for example, all those railway strikes and the West Coast disputes at the ports interrupted flow. And customers say, what are you guys doing? And so, you know, when we're selling to customers, we're hearing about that stuff. And we say, well, let's go find a place with less friction. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have less of those interruptions. And the Americans have just positioned themselves more effectively than BC. And BC is also contradictory on this. I say, I don't mind this kind of ship, but I don't want that kind of ship. And it's that contradiction that makes it very difficult for businesses to plan. And, you know, when you build a potash mine, for example, you're looking at a 40-year time horizon on a mine. So the politics of the day can get in the way of the politics of a long time. And sometimes politicians, for you know their own reasons, they want to get reelected or whatever, on a short-term four-year cycle, doesn't really match the 40-year cycle very often.
Mm-hmm. Paul Martin is my guest, Ralco Business Commentator, just reminding us the importance of the customer. The customer is always important. And it's interesting when you think of what's going on with the war that's still raging between Ukraine and Russia. If we see a successful end to that war, is there going to be implications on basically those commodities that much of the world has not been buying from Russia while this war has been going on, potentially coming back into the market?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Ukraine, Russia, Saskatchewan, we produce a lot of the same goods. And we enjoyed some benefit economically when that war first broke out, that Saskatchewan was seen as a replacement supplier, for example, of potash. And yes, the Russians have figured out ways to get stuff into market through back doors and that kind of stuff. So it won't be as disruptive. But it would appear we're kind of edging towards, or the negotiators are edging towards some sort of settlement in that battle. And if so, the sanctions would come off, mm-hmm. off Russia. And that would put them into back into play as a supplier of oil, and they're a big producer of oil. And then also potash. So, yeah, what those implications are, Evan, I don't know yet, but it's something worth thinking about because it's not a conversation piece at this point. But I did note the some American commentators were talking about it from an oil perspective, and that got me thinking about, well, potash too. So mm-hmm. I don't know where that goes, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Always appreciate having you on the program, Paul. Thanks so much for joining us first thing.
Not at all. Take care.
Paul Martin, Ralco Business Commentator, and always appreciate having his perspective on a variety of different things. And we're going to move from his perspective to yours. We come up at 9 o'clock with open lines. Both the text and the phone lines will open for you at 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.